It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Jones Zone. It's Chris and Brian. It's Chris.
And I'm Brian.
Okay, good job.
Oh, you're letting me say my own name, man.
Let you say your own name.
I'm moving on up, man.
He's moving on up. We're here with Pierre Wooten, CEO and I guess owner of the Brand Ambassador, right?
Correct, yeah.
What's your preferred title? I always ask people that, but just CEO?
You know why I put that out there for, because you have to have some sort of title. I'm just... I just serve.
He's just Pierre.
I'm just Pierre. Yeah, I'm not all into the title stuff.
Cool, man. Well, he does medical marketing and in the dental and medical industry, and we'll get into that too. But if you don't mind, just kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and some of your background. And
yeah, fill in the gaps where we left off. Chris did an amazing job.
I did an unbelievable job of introducing.
Yeah, I was born in Memphis, Tennessee. Anybody that's watching from, you know, I think we're Facebook Live, Coldwater, Mississippi. Very proud of that town and grew up in, grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio. Father of three. Husband of almost 10 years.
Oh, nice, nice.
So, done a lot of amazing things. I'm just so grateful to God that I've had the opportunity to meet the people like yourself and so many other people along the way. And one quote that, you know, my father and mom have always told me is that the same people you meet going up is the same people you meet coming down. So that has kind of kept me grounded where in that mindset, you never are coming down because you're always humble.
Exactly. Speaking of treating people right, we're going to get into that fight with you and or your team versus Eric Long's team in high school.
Oh, man.
See, it's a small world because I reached out to Pierre to see if he wanted to come on the podcast, and we had a mutual friend, Eric Long. Well, Eric was my roommate in Germany, so I'd known him for about 2 years, and we have a lot of, you know, history. Me and Eric were good buddies, though, but when I found out that they knew each other, it was hilarious. It's a small world. Tell you that much.
That's right.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your company, man? What got you into that? And how'd you get started? And what exactly do you guys do?
Yeah. So exactly, the Brand Ambassador. What we do is, like you mentioned before, is dental and medical marketing. I got the idea. I was at a past company where a chiropractor office came in to speak to us, and you know, long story short, you know, their whole goal is to basically inform us and kind of let us know what the services they have to offer. And they did a great job at that, but I never received a phone call, never received an email or any follow-up. So I thought to myself, I absolutely love people. I love working with people, being able to bring results for local communities. So what the Brand Ambassador does is we deliver guaranteed results, guaranteed leads for that dental or for that chiropractor or for any medical markets. In terms of their clientele. And we're able to do that with access that we have through the relationships that's been built over years from playing professional basketball to just general community service here.
How do you guys, without sharing the secret sauce, so to say, how do you guarantee leads like that, though?
Yeah, so, I mean, the secret sauce is the access. The relationships that we have built through my professional life in terms of business, I've never had an issue getting in front of the decision maker. So with with that being in mind, with the relationships built, anyone that knows me from the things that I've done, they know I'm going to do it right, and they know it's going to be done in decency and in order as well. So part of that secret sauce, I will say, is the relationships that I built, that I can pick up a phone call and get in front of those companies and say, hey, you know, I'm coming on behalf of this dentist's office, and we would like to be able to share their services with some of your employees that have insurance. And also, because studies have shown that most people that have dental insurance are probably not even using it. So now you're taking that dentist's office from saying, hey, I'm looking for clients, to we know exactly what clients you're looking for, and they have insurance as well.
So basically, your company expands the database and the customer clientele numbers of dentists and doctors too?
That's correct. I mean, essentially what we're doing is we're giving time back to the medical profession or dental profession. I would say, if you think about it, they go to school to learn how to be a dentist. they're not going to school from a business perspective. So we're really offloading that marketing responsibility and streamlining it, saying, hey, instead of just sending out mailers and we're just kind of hoping for this ROI here, we've selectively, we're calling it targeted marketing, where you're going into a company, you know they have employees, which is the numbers you're looking for. You also know that they have insurance, where now the insurance question is thrown away. Also, you also know exactly where you're going to be going, and you know the ROI as well, because there's a lifetime value built into every single client that's out there.
So you guys typically target corporations then?
Yeah, so what we do is we target primarily, we like to look at companies that fall in a couple buckets. One, if they're trying to scale their business to end up selling it for an exit plan, or the companies that said, we've been in existence for a couple years, we've tried to grow organically, but within the last 2 years, you know, we're at that point right now where we have to see some growth. Or even the companies that says, we've been in business for 35 years, and we have a great base of clients, but we have to, if you don't continue to grow, then something's gonna fall down at some particular time. So we really fall in those three buckets. We could really do this with any sector, but we've chosen to specialize in the dentistry and also like the medical markets.
What made you choose that? Sorry, Brian.
God, he never lets me speak. So I like what you do, because you provide service, you know, to the dentist, because a lot of times like you said, they don't mm-hmm. they go to school for dentistry and learning how to do teeth. They don't know how to market, maybe.
Correct.
And so it's playing to their skills by hiring an outside source to bring in the customers while they can focus on the
more on the business. Yep. That you're absolutely right. So and I spoke with an office yesterday, and this particular individual had 25 plus years of experience. She's never heard of it. Mm-hmm. And I love that feeling, because when I explain what I do and they're like, wow, that's interesting. You can almost see them rubbing, scratching their head like, okay, this is interesting. So everyone that gives us that opportunity to have that 15-minute conversation, I mean, the brand ambassador will literally transform their life, transform their business to be able to give that time back and also bring up revenues for you as well.
Yeah. So if I was a dentist and you came to me, you would express the value that I can work on more patients. I don't have to spend my time trying to worry about recruiting clients and building my database. That you'll do that, right?
Well, in that essence, you have a lot of dentists that will say, hey, I want to work more. And then you also have some. So I don't go in with the notion of, hey, I'm going to tell you this. Here are our services, but we're really here to serve you. So in that essence, we go to them and kind of going to secret sauce, if you want to go back to that. We ask them a couple questions, but one key question is, you choose three companies you would like to get into. So now that marketing responsibility, instead of mailers, now is geared towards for you to choose the three companies, ideally within a 5 to 10 mile radius, because one of the other issues, or if you want to call it pitfalls, is either money, insurance, or, you know, I can't get there in terms of time for the patient. So now we're eliminating all of those issues to say, hey, we're 5 minutes within there, so we can get you in during your lunch break or as soon as you get off work. So it really works in their benefit. And a lot of times in life, people say win-win-win situation. This is truly a win situation for everybody involved. We call it, it's 100% guaranteed. It's risk-free because we don't collect any funds up front. The only thing that we do is make sure that we're having a contract, because once we start negotiating on your behalf, setting those meetings, then we want to make sure that we're not just wasting our time on it, but it's still fully refundable. So let's say if you choose three companies and somehow, some way, it's never happened that we're not able to get into those companies that you want to get into, your money's going back anyway.
Hey.
How do they track that? If a client comes in, he says, they ask him what company he works for, and he mm-hmm. says, oh, I work for this company, and they go into their system, and they're like, oh, that's one of the customers that Pierre probably brought in, and then your company sees a commission on that?
Well, here's the thing. So we don't do based off of the commission structure. It's basically a lifetime value. So it is a fee that we would actually charge, and we just kind of break that down for them. We're more into establishing that long relationship. So we're not trying to just continue to make money off of them every single time. Mm-hmm. Our value is going to bring forth more clients anyway. We have also basically a non-compete. So it's very competitive to the standpoint. The question I get from some people is, if you have one dentist that's here and another one here, what's going to keep me from going back into there? We've thought about every single situation, because now it's more so, I don't want to say a supply demand, but if I go into and I'm trying not to use company names here. If I go into a company that's here located close to us and it's a very big company, well, chances are, if you're not in there already, it's very hard for me to get back in there. And even from our brand standpoint, we don't want to go back in there and say, hey, we're going to present on your behalf, and now we're advertising some other dentistry or chiropractor. Now it's kind of negating all the efforts we've done for one company. So we're very protected on that information.
You know, I've never had, of all the jobs that I've had, like we've had insurance people come in, but we never had someone to represent a doctor or dentist's office. That'd be pretty neat, man. How'd you think of that?
Like I said, I got it from a prior company that we were there. I was there before, and then essentially I never received any follow-up email or phone call or anything. I'm sitting there thinking, it was a lost opportunity. Yeah. And how many times are you taking an office manager, someone that's not specialized in marketing, and being able to, really it's lead generation.
Yeah.
How do you, you know, as lead generation, bringing those clients back in the office, they do a good job at presenting, but that's only half the battle. Right. Not even half the battle.
You gotta follow up.
So do you guys do mailers on behalf? Do you guys do marketing on their behalf, or just presentations?
We do presentations. There's a lot of different things we do in terms of website development, brand recognition as well. That's a huge, huge thing that it's a missed opportunity where a lot of people don't realize that if you don't have that brand management representation, even on website or social media, you're gonna lose. So we're not looking at it as like, hey, if we only do this one facet of the business, that you're solid. No, every company, the first thing you're gonna do when you look up somebody is gonna say, hey, you're gonna look up their website. And our website, I'll say up front, is actually, we're still doing a new website, but that's the first thing you do. So if a company doesn't have a website that's up and running, or a website that they're looking to have that website presence, we can also provide that as well. We have partners.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your college years. Play basketball at Winthrop?
Yeah, played basketball at Winthrop.
Coach Greg Marshall?
Yeah, I was his first recruit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, how was that?
Man, Marshall he's a phenomenal coach. I mean, I share with everybody to know that he was a NCAA Coach of the Year. Just 1 year. Just take that. I mean, that's over Coach K, over all the great coaches. Nuts. That speaks for itself, and I'm very, very proud of him. So,
you played overseas as well, basketball.
I did. Yeah,
where'd you play?
A little bit of everywhere. So I played in France, in Turkey, Australia, New Zealand.
How was it over there? Was it, you had to get used to, you know, European life and all that?
You know what? I always say you never get used to something; you adapt. Okay. And I think in life, it's all about adapting. And I think that is one of the biggest culture. And I know you guys are very well traveled as well. Mm-hmm. Is that, you know? I think even some Americans, you go into another country and you expect them to do things like speak your language and all that. But it's more so adapting to their culture and understanding that that's the only way that you're going to be really truly respected.
You guys made the tournament when you were there, right?
We made it 4 years straight. So
dang, man, I didn't realize they made it 4 years straight.
Yeah,
yeah.
So when you were a freshman, sophomore, junior, and
every year. So freshman year we played Auburn in Indianapolis. Second year I actually redshirted that year, but we played Oklahoma in Tucson, Arizona. Third year, we played in a play-in game against Northwestern State.
I remember that.
Mind you, we didn't win any of these games, which hurts.
Yeah.
And then the last year, we played against, you know, my good friend Daryl, his Duke Blue Devils, when they had Jason Williams, Mike Dunleavy, Carlos Boozer.
They were
Boozer.
Stacked.
They were stacked.
Was that the year with Shane Battier?
We were up, though. We were up.
The next year.
We were up in that game, 2-0. And that was it.
We had them right where we wanted.
That was an awesome Duke team, man. That was pretty cool though, because you played against a lot of NBA people then.
Yeah, yeah. We played against a lot of great players and you know, coaches as well. If you think about it, it's more than just the players.
You still play ball a little bit?
I do it from time to time. But like I said before, we got three kids, so it's extremely hard.
Can you still dunk?
I'm wise enough to not try to.
Yeah, that's same here, man. I just don't. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
I still don't, for what it's worth.
For what it's worth.
So you played in, where'd you say, France, and where else?
France, Turkey, Czech Republic, Switzerland.
Jeez.
Turkey, you name it. You know, Hungary, Romania. I played it a little bit everywhere.
So did you have one agent the whole time that shipped you out to all
these
different places?
So I had a couple agents. So it started with, my professional career started, I was at, a lot of people don't probably realize this, but I think back on it, somebody reminded me of it. I was the NBA had a first inaugural open tryout. Like it's never been, happened at all. And the Denver Nuggets did. And I would end up being the first person ever chosen out of 400 some people to go in to the summer camp and have an opportunity to play. And this was with Carmelo Anthony. So with that chance, I mean, that was an unbelievable opportunity. That really was just like the springboard for everything. And I had two agents. Both was fantastic. I mean, I really couldn't have asked for any better. The first one, so honest, so just everything. And at that particular time, when you're really young, sometimes it's too honest. It's like, hold on, man, do you really have my best interest? But he did. And I love him. And then my second agent, very well known with under Goodwin Sports Management, all the big guys. He was just phenomenal. He really was. Like, I've never met him before, which is crazy. Never met him. We talked on the phone, but I feel like I knew him, and I feel like I can call him for anything, even to this day.
That's pretty impressive. That's awesome, man. That's what you're looking for as a college recruit. You know, someone you can trust.
Carmelo, man, what's going on with him, dude? Is he going to get traded or what?
You know what? I'm not sure. I don't think anybody knows. we'll see.
I
want to hear about this Eric Long high school brawl y'all had.
Oh, man. Eric, if you watching, if you listening, man, this is my story, okay? My story is that...
His version.
I trust Pierre's version.
Yeah, this is my story. So, one... We probably beat them by like 25 points or whatever it is. And mind you, Mount Healthy, we always beat them. So I don't know if we should call it a rivalry game, but we always beat them.
And this is in Ohio, right?
This is in Ohio. Cincinnati, Ohio. I'll tell you one thing.
Shut up, Chris.
He was a phenomenal player, though. I mean, he was just so gritty. He was the heart of their team. To be honest,
he's
just
hilarious when he gets mad.
Huh?
He's hilarious when he gets mad, though.
He is. He's a character. A lot of people don't realize that unless you really get to know him.
We almost got into a fight one time because in Germany, we got back from our deployment in 2004, and I bought some airsoft guns. So everybody in the dorm, we all ended up getting these airsoft guns, and it actually turned into like my family, like a mafia family, you know, versus his side. He was always trying to recruit other people. And so, you know, after a couple of getting shot with an airsoft gun a few times, we were in the hallway. I forget what I did to really piss him off, but he came out. He had no shirt on. He's like, let's fight. Hold on, let me get my shoes on. So before we were about to fight, he was like, hold on, let me get my shoes on.
Pretty boy, he got to fight with his shoes on.
Well, if he kicks you, he doesn't want to break a metatarsal.
That's so what's about it hilarious.
So what's the story, Pierre? I mean, you guys were running up the score, and they got all mad, and there was a brawl, or what?
You know what? The more and more I think about it...
Pierre, I was out of line.
The more I think about it, I really believe that it was probably a strategy for them, because you know when you guys know, in so many different things it's really mental. So how can I get an edge? How can I get them off their game at some particular time? And it didn't work.
Were you like Dennis Rodman or
like
something?
Dennis Rodman.
Like Odell Beckham, like they're trying to get under his skin.
Charles Oakley.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Charles Oakley,
happened to him the other
did
night?
Did you see Michael Rapaport on Colin Cowherd?
No.
He was talking about it. He was just like, that Charles Oakley, that represents all of our struggles since 1973. He's like, do you know who Knicks fans are? Do you know how do we get to the games? He's like,
that's funny.
We ride on the subway. Charles Oakley represents that subway. We are tired of it.
But I mean, man, to just get thrown out like they sent like 10 dudes over there to get him.
I don't know what. I don't even know. I guess was he just mad or something?
He's on bad terms with the owner, so he was wanting to talk to the owner. And instead of the owner turning around and having a conversation with him, he sent a bunch of goons out.
It almost seemed like Phil Jackson set that up on purpose. How can we... I mean, I don't think anybody said that, but can you imagine like if Phil Jackson set that up? Like, I need more bad press for the Knicks so I can get kicked out. And it's sort of like that college coach that does not have any raps or control under his kids. that PR is not a good, not good, yeah. good PR at all.
No.
I was listening to his book, 11 Rings, but it's really long. I'm not even close to finish with that thing. Man. It's like, geez, dude. But he's talking. He talked a little bit about Kobe and Shaq, the dynamic there. It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So what age did you stop playing ball and get in? Did you get into brand ambassador right after basketball? Or?
Yeah, so no. So when I came back, I've been now retired, if you want to call it. First time me ever saying that name. for about 7 years or 8 years now. So when I came back, one thing a lot of people don't know, and I took this from Steve Smith and a few other people, is that I always worked. And I tried to work every single summer because I didn't want to be that person that had an education, had an MBA, but didn't have any experience of following.
Steve Smith, the
football player? Yeah, so a lot of people don't know. He worked even during, like, you know, times where he wasn't playing basketball just to continue to have his business side, you know, expanded, if you want to call it. So I tried to do that as much as possible with different local businesses to grow their business. It was a short-term thing because I knew I was still playing basketball. But when we came back, you know, I worked a couple places, and no one knew I played basketball. And I'm saying this now because you guys know we're on a podcast, but I would probably go out on a limb and say 70-80% of people that I've ever worked with have no idea I played basketball. And that's just me in general. Like, yeah. I don't need to, rah, 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 say all of these things like that. It's more so basketball was a byproduct of what God is able to show me and take me different places with basketball versus, hey, I'm the basketball player that has nothing else to do.
Yeah, so you don't name drop all the time?
No.
I probably would. I'd be like, yeah, when I was at the Denver camp and I was guarding Melo, like, yeah. If you force him to his left, really, is his shooting efficiency. Nah. I found that to be effective.
So what's up with you got a card game here?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
this is a card game. Seasons.
Pretty so excited about it. It's called Seasons. It's playseasons.com. It is available right now. It's basically, if you guys ever played the game Phase 10 before?
It sounds familiar. But
from Mattel?
I don't know. Phase 10?
Yeah. It's similar to it's not similar to Uno, but I'm just trying to put you in that same mind frame. It's essentially like the biblical Christian version of Phase 10.
Okay.
And I'm so excited because it's something where I can't even say on it now, but there is some huge organizations that I've had meetings with that I'm also in contact with right now that they're extremely, extremely interested in actually licensing it out, holding it in their bookstore. And when I say the biggest, if you just think of one of the biggest ones as venues or in that particular industry, I've had a phenomenal meeting with them.
In the bookstore industry or the church industry?
I don't even know how to classify it.
Church industry?
And a little bit of both. Oh, okay. A little bit of both, if you want to call it. So I'm extremely excited about it. It's extremely fun. We should actually be launching or debuting our commercial video this weekend. So shot this a couple weeks back. And it's going to be a game that everybody could truly enjoy. And I got the idea, God inspired, obviously, but it was the idea of how can we bring families back together to have just good old fun playing games. And it actually brings people back. Because I believe that there's two things, really three things that brings people together. Music is one. I don't care where you're at. Yeah, it translates to everybody. Food is another thing.
Yeah, definitely.
And then also just good, wholesome games where you can actually get in front of your family, get in front of friends, and just share some laughs and different things like that. So we're really excited about Seasons and where it's going to go. And like I said, we believe, and it's already happening now, that that game will be international, where we can maybe send it out to some veterans so they can do some things on their pastimes and just play a game. Mm-hmm. But it's the books of the Bible that you put things, different Bible books in order. We have a couple of special cards where it's not Holy of Thou or anything like that. A couple of books of the couple of special action cards where it's a breakthrough card where it allows you to either do a challenge or a quick boost to be able to get through all five seasons that you have. And we have that in instructions inside. So
it's 2 to 6 players, ages 7 and up.
That's correct.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
How do you even go about developing something like
that? Man, you know what? That is a great question. I promise you the idea.
All right, hold on. I have to interject here. I need to work on my questioning skills because I never get, that's a great question. I always get, okay, let's see how I can answer that. Chris, on the other hand, gets that's a great question every episode.
Well, you know, hey, I'm curious, man. Sometimes my curiosity shines through.
So how'd you even come up with designing a game like this?
That's a phenomenal question. Not a great, but a phenomenal question.
Even better than great.
Yeah, even better. I mean, it really, like I said, I believe that it stemmed from being able to bring families back together, because you can go to a restaurant and see so many different people on their phone, and they're not really going back to the family, just having fun. So it was inspired by that, and also inspired by being able to learn the books of the Bible in a very, very fun way without even having to say learn. Even the design of it was truly a vision that was given to me that I was able to just execute. And it's so much that I could say to it, but it's just one of those things where I'm just extremely grateful to God that He's allowed me to be the person to bring this here that's going to be bigger than all of us. And yep. It's truly going to go international. And you never know. I mean, someone may open that up and see the word J-O-B, which means job, to everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
But they'll realize that the story of Job is something that everybody has been able to relate to at some particular point of their life. And I'm extremely passionate and proud of that.
How do you transform the idea into actual tangible cards? I mean, you don't go to buildacardgame.com or nothing. I mean, how do you...
Yeah, so, I mean, really...
Another great question.
What I normally do is I like to write a lot of different things down. So I write it down, I get a visual of it, and I work with a graphic designer. His name is Andres Regaskis. I want to call him Gas.
Did you meet him playing in Russia? Or
I actually met him playing in France.
Nice.
Phenomenal guy, and he just gets it. Like, if I showed you the designs that I had, it looks like my daughter, 6-year-old Bella, made it, or Gino, or, you know... Or Melanie, who's 9 months old, is like, they could have done a better job. But once I gave it to them, it's amazing what it came out to be, because it's exactly. So it was really one of those things where I just honestly, I'm unashamed. I follow God. It's something that I just kind of, I don't move until I understand which direction I'm supposed to go into. And it's been proven where the opportunities that's happening right now, it's happened.
Take a couple minutes to talk to us about Christian Campers. That's something you're involved with too, right? What's that?
Yeah, Christian Campers is a ministry that's birthed. It's been 59 years. This is the 59th year in existence, and it's birthed out of just normal teachers saying we need something for the kids to do during the summer. So it started for like a couple weeks out of the summer, where the inner city kids of Philadelphia brought out of that normal environment of, you know, a lot of different things that inner city kids have to go through. And you imagine where we go up there, we have fun, we ride horses, we play games, and there's ministry for the entire week as well. But it's something where you take someone out of their normal environment, and we see trees all the time, but honestly, think about it. In Philadelphia, they don't really see trees. When was the first time or the last time they rode a horse? So we're able to go up there and ministry to them for the whole week, and it's just a phenomenal, phenomenal week.
Okay, and Choke Construction is involved in that? Or?
Well, Choke Construction is not involved with it, but indirectly, since we rent a van out every single year, and we pay about $700-$800 a year, so we fundraise for that. And in our fundraising, we are paying for transportation to go up there, and I don't say this for our credit, but anytime there's a delta there, we fill in the gap. So I told my wife, I said, you know, I believe that there's some company out there that has a great heart that says they may even donate a van to us. And I want to put that plug in, because, I mean, this is one thing where Choke Construction literally donated a 15-passenger van to us. And it's one thing.
When you say us and we, who are you talking about?
My wife. My wife.
Oh, your family?
Yeah, and my family. And they donated that van to us so we can be able to now repurpose those fundraising dollars to be able to, it costs $400 for a kid to go to camp. So if anybody's interested in donating that, I mean, please reach out to us. We're always looking for donations. But now, instead of paying $800 for a van, that pays for two kids to go to camp. Or we can split that in eight ways and give them $100 off, and that's directly to those kids. So it's a nonprofit organization that we're so excited about. And a lot of these things is about what can you do for other people, and not looking at how can you get a gain or a financial gain or nothing like that. This is all for the ministry on that. This
serving
is all,
others.
Yeah, it's all for serving others. So,
what's the website? Or how can people get in touch with that?
So, yeah, the website is going to be christiancampers.net. And you can also go on Facebook. Right now, you can go on Facebook and just type in Christian Campers. That's probably the best way. But their website should be up as well, that you can donate directly. There's a whole chairman and board of directors that's part of that as well, where they'll get the email information. And
All right, man. So, great stuff, man. We got the brand ambassador that you're up and running and doing that thing. Mm-hmm. You got your card.
Got Seasons. Yeah. And where can they get Seasons at?
Yeah, you can get Seasons at playseasons.com. So playseasons.com. We also have a fundraising availability option as well, where, again, Ben, how can we serve other people? And one of the fundraising idea that we have is what typically happens if you're selling popcorn or candy or whatever it may be, magazines, you're always paying higher price for what it may be. And what we want to do is basically say we have a fee for it. It's $15. So we'll just give XYZ percentage of that portion of it directly to that company. So we have the wholesale options, but it's a lot of different things that we're doing to be able to serve and help people reach their fundraising goal or whatever it may be.
Awesome, man. So if people want to get in touch with the brand ambassador, what's the best way to do that?
Yep. Best way for that is Pierre@thebrandambassador.net. Again, Pierre@thebrandambassador.net. Also, the website is obviously thebrandambassador.net. We look forward to serving you and being able to bring guaranteed clients to your clientele base.
Awesome, man.
Before we get out of here, let's do this random question of the day time.
Okay.
So we do this, we put people on the spot, and it's totally random. So growing up, your three top professional NBA basketball players.
Penny Hardaway.
Oh, that's a good one, man.
Okay. Michael Jordan.
Hey, how old are you?
I am 36.
So you graduated in 98?
98.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Penny Hardaway, because I'm from Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't know about him, and I knew about him like, this guy's, I'm telling you, he's on. So Penny.
Have you seen that documentary? Sorry.
I had. Yeah, it was awesome.
This Magic Moment? Yeah, that's pretty good.
So Penny, Michael Jordan, and I would probably have to say, it's hard to find a third person.
First name that comes to your mind.
Man, it was Penny and Jordan and maybe Oscar Robinson.
Oscar, that was. Right.
I mean, I'm gonna take Oscar back. I'm gonna just say Magic.
Well, was the question who's your favorite or who's the?
You said top three, right?
Or top three.
Okay.
Like, who do you think they're the top three ever?
No, your favorite, he could have said Chris Mullins. I don't know.
Yeah. Man, I just think that brand of basketball is so much better than right now.
Especially college, man.
Oh, let's talk college basketball for 10 minutes.
Okay.
Actually, let's not. We're coming off a loss to Duke last night.
Uh-oh. So
let's, well, it was a pleasure. No, let's talk about college.
You played 4 years. What do you make of all the one and dones, man? Is that hurting or helping or?
You know what? I don't think it's helping college basketball, and I think conversely, it's actually hurting the NBA because you're getting kids that. They don't understand basketball, let alone the business side of it. Mm-hmm. And the business side will take up everything because if you're so focused on the business, you're not focused on the actual development of your game. So
I don't know if I would draft a one and done kid. I don't know how good they would have to be.
Only a few of them. Like,
but like you think about somebody like Duke.
Yeah.
You know, they had the best recruiting class or whatever. Well, three of them don't even play. Mm-hmm. One of them, his knee can't support it. Jason Tatum, he's good.
Right.
But it's like, is he going to make an impact right away in the NBA? Maybe, I don't know, but probably not. So I don't know. And then they leave. There's no emotional connection.
I miss the days. I think maybe 2000, for me, 2009 was the end of...
After Hansborough left?
After my boy Hansborough left. Because that was the last solid team I was actually emotionally invested in.
Right, right.
It's hard to stay emotionally invested in these teams.
Because the players change so much.
Yeah.
It's like there's no, you don't see them grow in from the 18-year-old freshman to the 21-year-old senior. You know, the Christian Leitners are long gone.
That's right. It starts with AAU. I mean, I just saw on ESPN last night with Lorenzo Ball. And it's two other brothers. His dad is on there. And I don't fault them at all because that's a whole nother conversation.
That's the AAU guy, right?
Well, his dad was just saying, hey, yeah, they're going to be one and done. And I don't fault that because a lot of people ask the question, well, if your son had the opportunity to go to college and you know he's one and done, would you allow him to go to NBA? Absolutely. Because if that's his opportunity, there's so many other people that will go through. And yes, you can have an insurance policy over your time if you get hurt, but there's also... only one opportunity that if you miss that opportunity and you don't make that, you're going to regret that for the rest of your life. So I take it as no different from a business deal where if you're not going after it and you sit back and like an idea for Redbox. I had that idea because it was overseas. Mm-hmm. Nobody was doing it. I'm like, why don't I just, you know, we should do that. Somebody beat me to it. So imagine if you guys are sitting here having this interview and say, hey, how did you create Redbox?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a whole nother story.
Yeah, yeah. So different. Yeah, man. It's I watched a documentary recently too. I don't think there's one on Netflix. I don't think it was 30 for 30. I think it was something on Netflix.
Yeah.
And the kids went to Arizona
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, that's on Netflix. I can't think of the name right now.
What's your Netflix account? No.
They got a bunch of good stuff on there. I like the sports stuff, but all right, what are your three?
My top three favorite? Okay, good. Larry Johnson. Got
Grandmama.
Glenn Rice. Did I tell you about the time I met Glenn Rice?
At the car dealership?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was with you, man. We didn't ever tell you about it.
We got his autograph.
We showed up to an event he was having where he signed
an autograph. Did I tell you about the time I met him? It sounds like, you know.
Yeah, it sounds a lot more interesting.
Sounds a lot more interesting.
Yeah, like I was inside Belk and he
came in. I went to his house for a barbecue. We went to exchange nice guy. Some, great we went
to
guy.
Exchange some cheese.
And I would also have to say, all right, since we're talking about NBA players, I'm not going to say Tyler Hansbrough, but he's on my college list. So we have, who did I say? I said Larry Johnson, Glenn Rice, and I don't know, man. Reggie Miller.
Reggie Miller's a good one, man.
That New York game, oh.
Man, he's probably on my list, too. And I really did like Larry Johnson as well, but you know who else I really liked was...
Oh, yeah, you loved him, didn't you?
No, I was just, as you were talking, it came to my head. I was like, oh, yeah, that's a good one. I was like, I love that guy. And then now I just forgot. Who was it? Oh. Can you start talking again so I'll think of it?
Yeah, I can start talking again. who's your favorite college team growing up, Pierre?
Florida State.
Florida State? Basketball?
For everything.
Okay.
I mean... Little
Charlie Ward?
So I played football, basketball, track, baseball, everything in high school. So I was always
Were you highly recruited in all sports, basically? Or?
I was more highly recruited in football than basketball.
Really? What position did you play?
DB, corner. Okay. I was basically the quote-unquote lockdown cornerback, Deion Sanders, where you put him on the side and just you don't have to worry about that side of the field. So I had offers from Tennessee, Kentucky, you know, Ole Miss, to everybody that's in the MAC. I always share this story with University of Tennessee. They wanted me, and they sent a tape for me to say, hey, please put this on there. We already know about you, but just, you know, put something on there. I ended up putting Murder at 1600 video. Like, I didn't even want to play football at all. And to be honest, I never seen what
1600.
Yeah, with Wesley Snipes. Yeah. I never really thought about, like, I never saw myself the way everybody else saw me in football. And it was like, I'm 100 pounds soaking wet. Why would you want me to play football?
So is that, when did Peyton Manning graduate?
I would have actually played with Peyton Manning because I graduated college in 2002. So I would have played with him for maybe, I think, 1 year or so.
Maybe.
Yeah, I missed that opportunity.
So you would have played with, what was that, the two brothers?
The Colquitts?
The Clausens.
The Clausens.
Casey Clausen.
They only had one
Clausen. Casey was the one who...
Jimmy went to...
Notre Dame.
Yeah. The player I was thinking of was Scottie Pippen.
Scottie Pippen.
I like
Scottie.
Scottie! All right, man. Let's wrap up. We're already 40 minutes in. Pierre, we appreciate you coming in.
I appreciate you guys.
Brandambassador.net. Mm-hmm. PlaySeasons.com. And christiancampers.net.
Or just Facebook.
And check them out on Facebook, man. Yep. Appreciate you coming in, buddy.
All right. Thank you.
Good to see you.
Pierre. All right. Thanks, sir.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone Podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.